welcome you all to our school board meeting.
We need to excuse Marie Johnson. She's had a death in the family. The rest of the board's members are here, and Superintendent Citrude and Jared Black, our business administrator. We will begin by standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Flag is in the back right there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes for March 2015 meeting, and the financial reports for March 2015. Are there any questions or discussions? How's it been?
I move that we approve them.
I will second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Personnel actions, names for approval.
Yes, I have three names right now. We have, I'd like to present to the board for approval, John Hughes as principal at Cottonwood Elementary. As you're aware, he's been serving as an interim this year. Had interviews yesterday, day before, yesterday. And would recommend that John be made the permanent principal there at Cottonwood Elementary School. I'm also recommending to the board, I have accepted a request from Jed Jensen to be transferred to Supervisor of Secondary Education beginning next year. I'd like the board's approval on that. And also Dean Stilson as an assistant baseball coach at Emory High School.
Next year meaning next school year?
Beginning July 1st, next school year, yes.
Okay.
Gwen's still with us for a couple more months.
Okay, if we can't coerce Gwen to stay.
Tried.
We'll ask for a motion on those three names.
Well, I make a motion that we accept those.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have policy actions. New policy, FFA, student and staff memorials.
Yeah, and FFA has nothing to do with agriculture on this. That's the policy code. But I'm proposing that the board, we've talked about this in the past. It's been some time ago, but I'm recommending to the board this policy that I sent a copy to you. The policy outlines appropriate ways to memorialize students and staff who pass away, and that does not involve permanent monuments on school district property, but does list many, many ways that memorials can be held and programs and different ways that they can be recognized and memorialized without promoting or I guess glamorizing death in any way, but to do honor to those individuals without making it making up monuments or making it seem glamorous to students and so forth. And I recommend the board approve that policy. FFA, code FFA. If you have any questions about it, comments?
Do we have any scholarships now that are along these lines? I know they used to have one for Tim Swinburne. I don't know.
We don't have that anymore. The only scholarships that we offer right now that I'm aware of are through the foundation donations. It's the Seeley.
Singleton Seeley
fund donation to the school district foundation, and I think there are two scholarships or a couple of scholarships offered each year. Out of that fund. There's also I know been a donation a year or two ago to Cottonwood Elementary School in the name of Merlene and Ray Citrud by their son Clyde.
Terry,
thank you, Laurel. Mm-hmm. And that was to be used to help students at the school to recognize performance and to help students who May need help in purchasing school supplies and so forth, and I think some of that fund still exists. But as far as other scholarships, we don't have any formal scholarships. But I think on the list, doesn't it mention, yeah, it mentions scholarships in the name of student or staff member. But again, this would be promoted by individuals, not the school district.
By that family, right.
Either by the family or someone outside that could be run through either their family or through the district foundation. If they want, have that tax exempt, it could be run through the foundation. But some of the things that the policy mentions are scholarships, donations to charity that's dedicated to helping students. That's similar to the one I just mentioned. Collection or money to be donated to the deceased family or a charity in their name. Sympathy card signed by students and staff and flowers. Acknowledgement in the yearbook, in one edition of the yearbook or school paper or newsletter during the first part of graduation ceremonies or on the graduation program. It talks a little bit about that. Also, there could be a moment of silence or an empty chair at the first part of a graduation exercise. A dedication of a single game or performance to a deceased student or staff member. Endowments, which are monetary donations that are made to a particular school activity, department, or program in memory of a student or staff member or so forth. Those are ways to honor them, but it would not allow altering of a regular school day or school property or anything that infringes on separation of church and state. It mentions plaques on walls in the school. Anything that would draw attention to or have the potential to glamorize the death. Memorials that consist of a monument on school property. Memorials attached to a wall or in a trophy case, vigils or candlelight ceremonies on campuses. It does say, however, that if students want to have those candlelight vigils, they can secure a location off-site and conduct that. But retiring the student's jersey or number or any other sport activity or club representation, planting of trees or construction of benches or permanent structures, commemoratory events on the school premises, and honorary or posthumous diplomas, unless all of the requirements for graduation have been met. This is basically coming from a legal reference entitled School Memorials, Should We or Should We Not, or How Should We? It's about trauma and loss, the research and intervention, the National Institute for Trauma and Loss in Children. And in the past, we have had two or three of these, and we talked at that time about looking at other districts who had policies. This one follows closely, I think, Nebo School District policy, and it's one of the best I can find. It has been modified somewhat to fit our school district, but I'm recommending that the board adopt this policy as a as it's written.
Okay, any questions?
I have a question. What about plaques or monuments that are already in place?
Well, and that can be addressed. Some policies that I read, not all of them, some of them address future, and some of them address both. Those that address both indicate that from the date of the policy when it's written, that there'd be a 1 year period of time in which those could be removed and donated back to the family.
Do we have some of those?
Yeah. We have three that I know of. There's one at Cottonwood, there's one at Huntington Elementary, and there's one at Green River High School. There may be others, but that's the ones I know about. Two of them are benches, one was a tree planting. Yeah, I don't think you're going to uproot a tree. There's a trophy case at Green River High School that has a memorial in it, and there's also a bench at Huntington Elementary with a plaque
yeah.
in honor of a teacher.
There's a
but you also have to be careful that our school property does not become a cemetery or memorials. We honor those teachers and those students. We recognize the contributions of our employees and teachers and administrators, and we also recognize the struggles that many of our young people have, but we at the same time don't want to memorialize it to the point that it becomes glamorous or promotes teen suicide or other things that it could possibly. And right now, at least the state of Utah is one of the leading states in the rate of suicide among teens. Mm-hmm. It's in the top 20 in the nation. And I think that we have to be careful. Now, if you want something added in here about removing those within a year and donating them back to the family, we can certainly add it. I did not add it in here at this time with the idea that maybe at a future time we could look at that or have more discussion on it. But
I think we should discuss a little bit and then make a decision. But it could cause a problem with existing ones if someone, other student happened to pass away or a teacher, mm-hmm. that they have the argument, well, there's one already up.
That's true, but there was no policy in place at the time.
Right,
so that's the purpose of the policy now, is to make sure that our school property does not do two things: become a place for memorials, permanent memorials, or to glamorize death in any way with those monuments. In looking at what's good for our students and so forth. So I think with more discussion, we could determine what to do with those that are there. Some of them are going to be hard to deal with, but it's a very emotional thing for some people. You know that.
So. It is, yeah.
But we just want to make sure that in the future we don't continue that practice.
Then I move we approve this with further discussion to come on other parts, but approve this one as written.
Okay. And I'm not opposed to putting something in there now, Royd, if
I think I want to wait and talk to you about it a little bit and discuss it as a board a little bit.
See what we've got. See,
well, I think there needs to be some discussion with some of those family members, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, yeah.
The one at Huntington, I don't know that there's any family members around, but the one at Green River and Cottonwood, there would be.
Mm-hmm. Did you say there are two at Cottonwood?
There's one at Cottonwood that I know of for a student.
The bench.
Yeah.
So where's the tree?
It's planted by the bench.
Oh, all for both. The same child.
Yeah.
Well, that's.
And the Green River, it's
in
a trophy case, and there was growing. Also a picture on the wall by the new gym, but I'm not sure if it's still there or not.
It is. Okay. Yeah.
And I certainly don't begrudge that. At the time, there was no policy on it, but we discussed this at one time a year or two ago, and I just felt like we ought to move forward with it.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have Principal Davis here for girls soccer at Emory High School.
He actually has 4 and 5, so.
Oh, sorry.
That's
cheerleading
fine.
As well.
One at a time.
Yeah.
Thank you. One at a time. Okay.
Okay. Thank you for giving me a little time to discuss girls soccer. You may recall that about a year ago, I was here talking about adding girls soccer. We discussed the pros and the cons at that time. And it was my recommendation that we wait and study this issue, especially those specific questions that we had in a number of areas before taking any action on it. Over the course of this school year and also over last summer, we have followed up on the questions that were raised at the time, and I think that we have solutions. To the point where I'm here tonight to recommend that we do add girls soccer. The handout that I've given each of you is the same handout you had a year ago. The comments in red are the answers based on the research that we've conducted relevant to those questions. And I'd like to go through each of those. The first one, this is under the heading of cons. There will be an additional expense to run another athletic program. That goes without saying. However, the real, I think, defining program that leads me to believe that we can successfully finance girls soccer is the boys soccer program. You may recall when that was approved, the board agreed to pay coaching salaries as well as transportation. And then the program took on all of the other expenses, either through membership fees or through fundraising. The school also helps, especially on state-level expenses. We've not had a soccer team in the state tournament yet. This is just the second year. But those finances have been well managed and have met all of the expenses of the program. I believe we could do the same with girls soccer. In addition, much of the expense related to equipment would not be necessary because the programs would share equipment, goals, soccer balls, things of that nature. So the expense would be minimal. It's not a program that requires a lot of costly items, a lot of costly equipment. The equipment would be, in most cases, purchased by the girls themselves and their families. So I think cost is something that would be manageable. The second one is the additional workload to the athletic director, financial secretary, and attendance secretary. A couple of years ago, I started an in-service program for all of our coaches and advisors, which is held just prior to the start of school, where we address all of the coaching responsibilities. It dwells a lot on the financial end. I invite Jared to come over. He's been gracious enough to come over and present on that. It also focuses on coaches' responsibility as far as getting excuse lists to our attendance secretary to check grades, all of the many things that coaches have to do other than what takes place on the field, the X's and O's and those kinds of things. It's been very successful. It has greatly reduced the problems that we have associated to athletic programs during the course of the year. So I think that having that in place would greatly minimize these concerns. In addition, we would be very discerning in the selection process of soccer coach to make sure that we would get the best qualified applicant in the position with the skills, the background, the experience to deal with all of the many responsibilities related to coaching. The next item is coaching will create problems. Either we will have a coach not on staff who is disconnected from the school, or a coach on staff who will miss a lot of class instructional time, always a concern. I think that the in-service program that we provide for coaches deals a lot with these issues as well, making sure that that they have their classes covered if they are out of school, making sure that they have proper lesson plans in place, that they follow up with substitute teachers, that they communicate with students in any missed work or makeup work, and I believe that they would be on a professional level to do that. And that's, of course, assuming that a soccer coach would be someone on our faculty. As you know, more and more we are hiring coaches who are not part of the teaching faculty. We do try to have someone on staff connected to the program just so we have a liaison with the program to deal with on-site issues as they come up during the school day. If we need to check with the student, check grades, take phone calls, scheduling issues, and things like that. So we would try and have someone on the staff, even though they may not be the head coach. The next one is facilities related to additional fall sports are in question. This was, in my mind, the biggest concern. this is a fall sport. We have football going on at the same time. I've discussed this with Coach Jones in terms of using the football field for the girls' soccer home matches only, not for practice. And he believes and he agrees that this is doable, that we can work this out. Right now, the schedule includes only 4 home matches. If we were to approve soccer, they may add a few more non-region matches, but that would be at most 6 matches on the football field. Also, we were able to identify on our west softball field adequate space with lawn to create a practice area for girls soccer. It would require some, I think, geometry to set up a playing field. We would have to improve the sod in some areas, but it would be a good place to start, and we could easily move goals over there. They're transportable, and I would rely on the head coach, coaching staff, to set things up, to work with administration, custodians, maintenance, to make sure that that field was safe for our girls to practice on, and at the same time prepare them for competition. So I think those issues have been resolved. We're always concerned about water and how much water we're going to have for our lawns. These playing fields become a high priority at the end of the summer, and in the past, when we've lost water or we've been cut back, then we find other areas where we can minimize watering and place priority on these playing fields. One other thing about the football field, if we add girls soccer, we would work with County Rec to minimize the use of our football field for Little League football. And Coach Jones and I talked about this. And in recent years, Little League football has been playing and practicing more at the junior highs and less at the high school. So that would be helpful. Okay, next year will be a realignment year. And Emory High School could easily be bumped up to 3A classification. We were concerned about that. We will be 3A in football, but we are staying 2A in everything else, which is much more competitive. And for our school, a school our size, it makes much more sense to start a program in a smaller school classification than it would have to try and start girls soccer if we were in 3A classification. So I feel very good about that. We will be in Region 15 again, along with San Juan, Grand, North Sevier, Gunnison, and Manti. 4 of the schools in that region, 5 of the schools in that region will have girls soccer. So we'll have a region. It's not going to be regions combined into divisions. We're fortunate enough to have enough girls soccer teams in our region to have a schedule of our own. The schedule has already been generated. I've received it. I've reviewed it. And it looks very promising. With the addition of girls soccer, Emory High will have 6 athletic programs active during the same season. This, of course, would be a concern for transportation if we were to have a lot of games on the road on the same day. However, after receiving the schedule and looking when those soccer matches would be held, I don't see that this would ever happen. They're spread out during the week, typically Tuesday through Friday, and we very, very seldom have any conflict with Friday other than football. So if we had a conflict, it would be with maybe 4 teams traveling, and that would be rare. And transportation has said that they could handle that without any problem. So I think transportation is not going to be an issue. It is my recommendation that we add girls soccer to our existing athletic programs at Emory High School, that the school board approve the hiring and financing the pay, salary of head coach and assistant coach consistent with the coaching salary schedule, and that the district also approve transportation for the team as necessary. So having said that, do you have any questions or concerns?
I have a couple. Do you have a coach in mind? Is there someone that's willing to take that on?
I don't have one that has come to me and said, I'd like to be your coach, or I will apply to be your coach. We do have a full-time teacher who is an assistant coach now in the boys soccer program, and seems to enjoy that. When he came to us, he had soccer coaching experience at Carbon High School, so that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. And then how many girls would that involve?
That would involve approximately up to 30 girls, really? Maybe a couple more. And
Which would make a tremendous impact for us on Title IX, and we really need that.
Sure.
So I certainly concur, not only what being good for Emory High School, but it also helps us with our Title IX compliance. So.
But how many girls would be pulled from other sports?
That's something that is a bit of a concern. I don't think it will impact cross country or volleyball. Also fall sports. The one I want to watch carefully is girls tennis, which on average would have 12 to maybe 20 girls on the team. If you look at the second bullet, I should have pointed this out on the front page, it gives you the numbers. This is based on this year's participation, and it's participation by individual. It's not participation by sports.
So if you play three sports, you're counted three times.
You're counted one time.
One time.
And these numbers.
It is by individual, not by.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Many of these are in multiple sports, but you can see that there is a bit of a gap between male 145 and female 118. And these numbers also include our ninth grade participants in Emory High School.
Title IX takes the number of girls that you have in the school and compares that to the participation rates of the girls in the programs, and then same with the boys. It takes the number of boys you have in the school and compares the participation rate of boys in sports programs.
So are we?
And they need to be. They don't expect them to be the same, but you either have to be within 5% or working toward 5%.
Yeah.
No more than 5%.
Are we going to pick up a bunch of? A few new girls, or are they going to be girls that are playing basketball and volleyball? I know you won't play volleyball, but basketball and
other
sports.
No, I think we're going to take up a lot of new girls.
New girls?
Yes.
Okay, well,
that's proven true in our soccer program.
Has it?
Okay.
That's good.
For boys, I mean. Soccer program for boys. Yeah.
We have the funding, Jared?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
I would expect.
When I ask him that question, he always says no. I don't know why he says yes to you.
That's not true.
Just joking.
If I remember the...
He says, if you feel it's important, I'll find the money. That's what he tells me.
Yeah.
The estimate for the last time was $10,000 to $12,000, and it would be the same for this, assuming six road matches a year on average. So that's what we'd be looking at.
Okay.
All right.
You ready for a motion?
Let's do.
Yeah, I move that we approve the soccer program for girls in Emory High.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for that presentation. Now we'll let you do the.
Thank you for the vote. Appreciate that.
Cheerleading.
This presentation is on the possibility of allowing ninth graders to try out for a cheer program at Emory High School. I appreciate the cheer advisors and cheerleaders being here tonight. Thank you all for coming. This idea did initiate with the cheerleading program and with the advisors Monica and Shawnee. In recent years, the numbers have declined in our cheer program. Having said that, I also have to really compliment these girls for the excellent job they did, even with the few numbers that they had. They were very inspiring. Our student section has never been more active and involved at competition games and matches and meets. And these girls were amazing, so I do appreciate that. But they are interested in increasing their numbers. I know that we've had as many as 30 cheerleaders at one time just since I've been there. I don't know what the best number of cheerleaders would be, but I do know that stunning does involve a lot more than five or six girls. And a big part of cheerleading these days is stunning. Our cheer squad was very limited in what they could do because of the lack of numbers. And so I understand that part of it. I also understand dance routines also are more effective, more entertaining, more meaningful with greater numbers. Having more cheerleaders along the sideline, I think, encourages other students to get involved, both sides. It's one thing these girls did was to get not only the student side involved, but the adult, parent, fan side of the Spartan Center involved. It was pretty amazing to see that. I think one of the main reasons why we're looking at the ninth grade is because this would bring youth to the program. It would bring, I think, potential sustainability to the program. The idea is to bring young, talented cheerleaders in who want to be cheerleaders, not just for 1 year or 2 years, but for all of the years that they are connected to Emory High. And at the same time, set the example for other younger girls coming up to want to be Emory High cheerleaders. And I think that that's also an important consideration. When we had 30 cheerleaders before, we were allowing ninth graders to come up. We had, I think, eight ninth graders on the cheer squad that year. There was no policy precluding that. It was a matter of discretion by the coaches whether they would allow it or not. That year met with some mixed results. The girls were all very talented. There was sometimes a question of maturity level. Could they hold up to the rigors of a high school program and still get their schoolwork done and not get caught up in the social end of it at the expense of the academic end of it? Monica and her staff have brought very specific rules to the program, expectations to the program, and the girls know what are expected of them coming in and have been able to live up to those. At the bottom of the page, I've also noted that this isn't necessarily requesting that ninth grade girls in junior high can't still try out for ninth grade programs. I don't want any girl to be left out when there are two programs available now, and they may not feel comfortable at high school level, but they're okay being on a junior high cheer squad to try out for that program. So that's not necessarily part of this. At the top of the page, you can see the amendments that I'm proposing, slight changes to the existing program. And it's just this one paragraph. The whole policy is two pages long. It's a policy that was adopted a year ago after a lot of discussion that took place once Carbon School District moved their ninth graders up to the high school. Then that sort of put things in motion for us. We've learned a lot about that this year. One of the things that we've learned is that some of the ninth graders who are not part of programs are somewhat left out. Even many of the ninth graders that play up at the high school are kind of disconnected from the junior high, and we knew that. We knew that that was a possibility. Right now, I think the cheerleaders at the junior high level, ninth grade cheerleaders, some of them, maybe most of them, feel a little awkward cheering for seventh and eighth graders when they would prefer to be cheering for their peers, ninth graders, 10th graders. And I think it is the plan of Archer program to create, if they haven't the numbers, to create freshman, sophomore, JV, and varsity level cheerleading programs. And when the girls who are not out on the floor cheering, if they're not, if it's not their time, then the other ones will be in the cheering section supporting them. So it's kind of a win-win that way. The second paragraph, if you'll follow along as I read through the proposed changes, high school sports programs will include students in grades 9 through 12 interested in participating in cheerleading and in sports sanctioned by the Utah High School Activities Association. The bold underline is added language. Ninth grade students that attend San Rafael and Canyonview Junior High Schools will participate in these programs at Emory High School. Emory High School coaches and advisors shall schedule practice times that allow ninth grade students to participate without missing instructional time at their junior high school. These girls will be expected to come to early practices, but they need to be back to school by the start of their school day at their respective junior high schools. We're not asking the board to approve transportation for them. We are expecting them to provide their own transportation. We don't provide transportation for our cheerleaders. Nobody, a bus doesn't come and pick you guys up to bring you to 6:30 practice. Same with drill team. And so we would not expect that of the ninth grade girls. There are hardships there for sure. Our county is very spread out. But I think if parents and students know this going in, they'll know what to expect, and I think they'll be able to deal with it.
Let me just ask the junior high principals your feelings about sixth graders trying out for seventh grade cheer. Because if this takes ninth graders, you may have some ninth graders, but currently we have no seventh grade cheerleaders. Well, would this include that consideration? Same time, or
cheer advisors here at Canyonview have actually approached me, and they would. They're aware of what's going on at this meeting tonight, and if this goes through and ninth graders have the opportunity to be cheerleaders at the high school, then yes, we would like to look at that and have sixth graders try out and be cheerleaders as seventh graders.
Mr. Meekham, you.
We actually had our cheer tryouts tonight, finished up with 12, but our coaches are prepared to open it up to sixth grade tryouts as well, to include them as well.
How did you handle the ninth graders that were interested in trying?
We should have got a better count, but I believe we've got 4 ninth graders that are trying out, who made the cheer team for next year, but we've got, I think, 4 or 5 current eighth graders who tried out for drill. Made it tonight or not, but I anticipate at least those, if they didn't make it for drill, would be trying out for cheer at the high school. And it is true that it was at times an awkward situation cheering for younger kids with no ninth graders playing for them. So we're prepared to accept and bring those incoming seventh graders as cheer.
Well, I guess I'm more interested in what you recommend, not that you're willing to accept it, but is that the direction you think that your school ought to go?
I think so.
How about your ninth graders that already tried out for cheer at San Rafael? Would they have an opportunity to still go try out at the high school?
When I was made aware of this yesterday morning, I talked to them, and we would work with that. I don't anticipate any of them doing so.
Is that going to work with high school as well, with tryouts? Are you going to be able to get the ninth graders there to try out?
They're all after school in the evening.
But you haven't done them already?
Next week.
Next week, okay.
We're waiting.
Waiting, okay.
After a year under this athletic situation, I think we've learned a lot about it. This is one of the concerns, as you recall, that we all had, is that disconnect. Mm-hmm. I think this would be a better fit and a better alignment if we were to, try this for a year or two and see where the kinks are and the problems are, and we'll have to iron them out. If it just falls on its face, we'll come back to the table again. But I certainly concur and recommend that we at least try it out and see how it works.
I have a question. Is Monica here? Is Shawnee here too? You're Shawnee. Okay, well, right by each other.
Yeah, she looks young.
I thought you were sophomores or something. Okay. Not that this has any bearing on this decision, but what in your opinion has been, why is the reason that we've had a decline in cheerleaders at Emory High?
You've actually had a decline in school spirit, and then we lost. We had 14 to start, and we lost a lot to.
They couldn't follow our rules.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Drugs, alcohol, not following moral code. So we lost a lot that way, but. We were new last year. I think people know what we expect. They see that.
That'll change.
And
yeah.
We honestly, and I appreciate Larry saying, we did bring up school spirit. We, as even a 7-member squad, were amazing with the school spirit. So, they did good.
Okay.
And if it's okay with the board, I'd like to embarrass my two daughters and have them stand up.
Oh,
they are here. Come on, stand up, Allie and Caitlin.
Take a bow.
I'll adopt you if you want to stand up.
Give us a high leg kick.
If they're going to show up without telling me, I'm going to embarrass them.
Oh.
You're the real boss.
Any other questions that we have? Okay, motion's in order for that.
I move that we approve all the things that we've talked about.
Including the no transportation.
Sixth grade, ninth grade, all, and no transportation, yeah, all the stuff.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Good
okay.
luck.
Yes,
Thank
good
you.
Luck. We hope it
Thank you very much.
Continues
job,
to grow. Sounds like you've got great leadership there. Appointment of board negotiating teams. I think that Marie and I were on the certified.
You gonna do classified now?
Classified.
We were classified.
Or you and Marie were on classified.
Classified, okay.
And Nanette and Sam were on licensed.
Thanks for reminding us. They all kind of blend together.
Yeah, they do. I wasn't on last year. I was wondering why I didn't go to any meetings. I'll go to one. I'll volunteer to go to be on the committee.
I'll go to one.
I don't really know what you're talking about.
This is contract negotiation with employees.
Contract negotiate with the. I will do the certified this year, and you two want to do the classified, and we can see if Marie where she wants to be, and if you do want to do it. Okay, we'll work that out with Marie. I'd like to talk to her before, see if she'd rather be on it. I can sit out or however.
So Roy and I are going to be on what one?
Classified.
Classified.
Are we? Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I
okay.
Just
I think we were. I think we were on that last year. So
okay.
we'll switch. Put Marie on there. If Marie doesn't want to, we'll bring Julie on. Or. Land trust. Plan amendment with
okay
Green
on
River
on
High
my
School.
Report that I gave you tonight there's a copy and we got this after sent packets out. It's a request from Green River High School to change or to amend their current land trust plan for this year, and you don't have to read it all, but if you look, I have underlined some budget amounts that are carryover from the programs that they have had in their plan. And in February, their school community council, if you look at the last paragraph on the first page, I've underlined it. They expressed, the teachers expressed a need for additional technology in the school, and they have requested that Chromebooks be purchased. Those are tablets. There's a cart full of them right back here in the back of the room that Canyonview has that they move around. But what Green River High would like to use is some of their land trust funding for this year by modifying their budget in this year's plan to purchase 2 classroom sets of Chromebooks to be used for their language arts, writing, and so forth, and social studies classes in doing their projects in both of those departments. Right now they have a real problem with their, they have an iPad lab, but pretty much monopolized by math and other subject areas, and so this would help in that regard. But it said on the next page, on March 30th, the community council voted to amend the land trust plan to use available land trust funds for the purchase of the Chromebooks. I've talked to Mr. Johnson personally about this. I have talked to John Crawford, our technology supervisor. He's excited about it. He's agreed to make sure that they are provided with training. And Mr. Johnson feels that this fits within his current student performance measures that are in their goals now. So they don't have to modify necessarily the goals of their land trust plan, but they would have to amend the budget. So they're asking the board to approve that so that they can go in this week and modify it, get those purchased so they can be used next year, and then their next year's plan will be due in a week or two. So I recommend the board approve the amendment to their land trust budget for the use of purchasing more technology in the school by the way of Chromebooks.
Okay, any discussion on that?
Well, I would make a motion that we approve it.
Okay, I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? You girls that are here, you're welcome to, you don't have to stay till the boring, all the boring.
Oh, come on.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I still have a lot to say.
It's really exciting, but
well, aren't you going to give us a cheer?
Yeah, they're gone.
We'll cheer on the way out.
Huh? I'm going to call home in just a minute to make sure you're there.
Thank you. Let's go to the principal's report.
Well, was that a hint towards me?
That's you, Principal Jones, sorry.
The boring part?
No, of course not.
You can leave?
No.
No, she was talking about Jared and I.
That's right, Jared and
she said, yeah.
What's his name?
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Canyon Junior High. It's good to host a school board meeting. For my principal's report, I want to just talk about a few things going on here at the junior high. As a faculty and staff, we feel like it's been a really good year. We haven't had really any major issues this year. Academically, I think as a faculty and staff, we feel like it's been a good year. Just to kind of give you an idea, 2 weeks ago we had our third term top cap party, and we had 130 out of 192 kids qualified for that party. And that's based on grades, citizenship, and attendance. And so I think that kind of gives you a pretty good idea of the kind of kids that we have here at Canyon View. So, real pleased with that. Citizenship-wise, we are a junior high. We deal with a lot of junior high issues, but that's who we are. And we see a lot of progress in kids throughout the year. Some seem to make a little more progress than others, but we'll keep working with them. Some of the other things going on next Wednesday and Thursday, we have an accreditation visit scheduled. The Advanced Ed External Review Team will be here. We've been very busy in the last couple of months preparing for this. We've done a self-assessment. We've done parent, staff, and student surveys. And it's a real good process to go through. We get an opportunity to kind of reflect on our programs and on the things that we're doing well, and also in some of the areas that maybe we need to work on a little bit. And so it'll be good to have the team here and hear their recommendations as well. So it has been a good process. Just to make you aware of a couple of things, we continue to use our learning strategies class to focus on reading and writing skills. We have, within the past month, we have started kind of a reading intervention program. We've identified around 40 students, and we were aware of this, and we've been trying to figure out ways to kind of to deal with this and what we need to do, and so So during our learning strategies class, we've divided these 40 students into groups. And our librarian, Megan Durant, and we have several educational assistants that are taking these kids, and they're doing some direct reading instruction every day with these kids. And so it's a good program. Along with that, we're getting ready for registration for next year. And we're also looking at adding two or three remedial reading sections, because we feel like that's a real strong need right now here at the junior high. We feel like we can do this in-house. We feel like we can add these programs. I, along with our two language arts teachers, Mrs. McDermott and Miss Gibbs, and also our librarian, Mrs. Durant, attended a reading workshop a couple of weeks ago. I'm also working with Amy Bell, and we're looking at some different reading programs and things that we can kind of train some of our educational assistants to run these remedial reading sections. Also talked a little bit to John Crawford about this. It'll kind of go through our special education department, and so we're trying to finalize some of the details there, but we're excited to be adding that. We're also looking at adding a STEM class for next year, so we're excited about that. We've been attended a workshop down in Moab a couple of months ago, and so we're looking at adding that class. I think Santa Fe is looking at adding that class as well. We're also going to continue to try to add more honors classes for some of our gifted and talented kids as well.
For some of you that don't know what STEM classes are, it's science, technology, engineering, and math integrated. And so we get so used in education just to saying STEM.
That's
but
correct.
Some of you may not know what that is. Sorry, Mr. Jones.
That's my bad. You're right on that. So, but we are excited to look at that, the possibility of that class for next year. Some of the other things, here in the next couple of weeks, we'll be starting our end of the year SAGE testing, as will most other schools. We'll be starting our track season here in a couple of weeks. We also have our closing band concert scheduled for May the 14th. We have our closing chorus concert scheduled for May 6th. And our closing program will be on Wednesday, May the 20th. So just a few things coming up and a few things going on here at the junior high. The last thing that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about was, and it's already been talked about, but I guess kind of want to add my two cents to this, and that's the policy that was adopted last year, having the ninth graders go up to the high school and participate in sports. And I concur with the superintendent, Mr. Davis, and I think Mr. Meekum would agree as well, that and our faculty and staff, we have noticed a real disconnect with our ninth graders. Mm. They really do not feel like part of the junior high. Mm-hmm. And there's a few things here that I want to talk to you about. First of all, we had very few ninth graders that did participate at the high school. We started out the first of the year with 58 ninth grade students. 16 of those kids went to the high school and participated in sports. We had three that played football. We had three that wrestled. We had four that played volleyball, three that played boys basketball, three that played girls basketball. Two were on the drill team. One boys track, zero girls track, zero boys golf, zero girls golf, one on boys soccer, one on boys swim, one on girls swim, zero on cross country, and zero on girls tennis. And so I think, we can talk about the reasons or the issues, and I have some opinions on that. I know that Mr. Meekum and Mr. Davis, and I'm sure the superintendent does as well. But the bottom line is we have a whole group of kids here at Canyon View and San Rafael that are basically being left out. I mean, yes, they do have an opportunity to go to the ninth grade. You know, it might be maturity. It might just be convenience that they don't want to go over there. It might be transportation. I mean, there's a lot of different issues and different reasons there, but the bottom line is these kids are not participating, the majority of them are not participating in the high school program. And the problem is at the junior high, you know, we cannot offer the clubs and the activities and the different things that the high school can offer. Here at Canyon View, we have 8 full-time teachers. So it's very hard for us to add additional programs. Those 8 full-time teachers are already sponsoring other activities and other events, and it's hard to create clubs and different things for these kids to be involved in. And so it is an issue. We have ninth graders all the time ask, well, why can't we just play sports here? Why can't we just be part of these teams here? You know, again, for various reasons. But we can't let them do that. I personally feel like if the secondary administrators, along with the district administration, you know, if we sat down and talked about this, and I feel like that we could come up with some ideas to solve this. And so, you know, I would just like you to consider that. And, you know, because I think, in my mind, I think the best solution is to move the ninth graders to the high school. But I know that is not really something that is feasible right now. So we need to look at something else for these ninth grade students.
Well, it's really a matter of competition. You know that as well, and there's no reason why there can't be a competitive program of some kind, but it would involve 2 junior highs and Green River probably, because of the step the Carbon School District has taken. One of the problems when you move the ninth grader, there's a lot of problems with moving the ninth grade to high school. It sounds simple, but it isn't simple. It's very complex, and the impact that it has on the elementary schools particularly would probably mean closing schools. And we right now have community centers that we just don't want to close. Even if we move the ninth grade to the high school, you're going to have basically the same number of kids making the sports teams. Now, I understand there's more other clubs and things that they can be a part of, but you probably won't have any more kids necessarily participating in sports there. They would not necessarily make those teams, and they would be sitting in Emory High School not participating in sports. But I also see the problem we have back at the junior high schools with those kids not having the other things that you're talking about, and I agree that it needs some discussion, but it's very complicated. So.
But there needs to be involvement too. We need to get these kids doing. We realized when Carbon, you know, decided to do that, it would impact us, and we were under the impression that was going to be worked out, that there would be something that.
Well, we talked about intramural kinds of things.
Yeah, I think that's what we talked about.
And I think what Mr. Jones is saying, because of staffing issues,
that doesn't work.
Your staff that's here, it's hard to find people who are willing to put in that extra time to have those kind of programs going on, or who have the time to do it.
Well, we could run, we could run intramurals during the lunchtime. I don't see how we could run them before school or after school, because we just don't have the facilities or the manpower to do that. And basically during lunchtime, our kids, you know, if we run intramural during the winter, if we run intramurals in the gym, you know, I mean, we have 200 kids here, and so if we have 30 or 40 kids in there in an intramural program, then the other 160 or 170 kids are they've got nowhere to go during lunch.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't have the ability to do that.
Right. We run the intramurals, as I spoke before, during lunch, and it's totally volunteered by a couple of our teachers who run it 3 times a week when we have an event going. That's for all students, not just ninth grade.
How's it working?
You know, they have good time, but it's not.
It's not like the games that they're used to.
It's not a group, it's not a team per se.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's 3-on-3 volleyball, 3-on-3 basketball on short courts. I mean, And to be honest, usually it's dominated by those who are playing. If it's ninth graders win, it's the ones who have gone up and played basketball at high school.
High school, yeah.
Or if it's the eighth graders, it's the ones that are playing the eighth grade. So as I look at it, I don't know how many it really has impacted truly as far as involving that many.
Well, and the other thing problem we have is that we really need to work with County Recreation a little bit more too, because they stop offering programs when they hit these schools that they think that these programs are available. Now that they're not available, maybe there's something that they could do more to step up for those kids at that age in County Recreation kinds of competition programs. But I don't know. Those are things we need to explore. Now, in some areas they do. They have some baseball programs that go to the older kids, and but generally, they're, as far as I know, they're football and basketball and those kind of programs end about the time the kids hit junior high. And there's nothing available through County Recreation either. We're just limited by the rural issues that we face, mm-hmm. and the competition that we have without traveling to the Wasatch Front.
Well, I think you're exactly right. I mean, you know, when these kids go to the high school, they're, you know, many of them are not going to try out for teams or be part of teams. But when they're in ninth grade, you know, I mean, I think that we all feel like they still should have some mm-hmm. opportunities mm-hmm. available. I think it's really good if you know, if I understood this right, for cheerleaders to be able to go to the high school and try out for the cheer program if they want to, but yet they can also stay at the junior high and try out for cheerleading. I mean, that would be, to me, that would be the best solution for everything if we could figure that out. I mean, if those kids that want to go to the high school, great, go to the high school and try
if
out.
If you can figure out the competition part
right.
of it. And
right.
I think we could do that
well,
somehow.
Kind of the direction I'd like to see us go. If we can
we need to have some conversations around that.
But what you're talking about would be, just in clarification, finding other schools in other areas that would compete.
Yes, you know, and that might
yeah.
involve transportation. If
well,
you
it
look
could
at
it
Saline
could become
or
yeah
Ridgefield
very expensive.
Aaron.
And it might be some limited transportation.
Well, between the two junior highs, but yeah.
Well, you've got Green River,
too,
that could,
right.
you could
right.
participate with on a junior high level. But mm-hmm. you're talking about three schools, but that's still, even if you play, you know, each team a couple of times, it's still competition. And right. and perhaps maybe allowed one or two out of the area for ninth graders.
And that would be perfect if we could go out of the area once or twice. I mean, the junior high seasons, you know, in basketball, they play 10 or so games is all they play. So if we play San Rafael four times in basketball, and we could play Green River, and if the Carbon Middle Schools wanted to play us, fine. If they don't, fine. And then if we could go out of the area for, you know, a couple of games, and they come here for a couple of games, you end up with a 10 or 12 game schedule, which I think is adequate
for the ninth graders. Yeah.
Well, it would help with them competitively too if they're getting involved. If they're getting, it would help the students competitively if they're going to
sure.
be involved. They could be more ready
the,
to compete for teams at the high school. They,
of course,
they almost
the
need
transportation
that.
Is probably your biggest challenge, because you got to realize that our buses to run cost us nearly $4 a mile
mm-hmm.
when we operate them, and so. Just a trip to Spanish Fork and back, you know, $800 for a bus for one game.
Right.
So there, those are budget issues that need to be looked at and worked out. But I right from the beginning, I think I even mentioned that we ought to try to look at some limited competition for ninth graders, even if it's in our own area. But I agree with you, Mr. Jones, that this needs some discussion.
Yes, and thank you for bringing that up. That's
at the junior highs.
Well, thank you
relevant.
For your consideration,
mm-hmm.
and that's really all I have. And again, thanks for coming to Canyon View, and thanks for everything you do for our students and our schools.
Thank you.
Could I ask
sure.
a question?
You bet.
Hey, Jim. When you got your Chromebook, did you get
training on those? How get,
probably not as much as we needed. We had Nathan Wilson from the service center come over and did, I think, two or three kind of professional development.
So it wasn't a lot, yeah.
No.
That's my concern with Green River. If they're going to get those Chromebooks, we probably need some training enough that teachers know what they're doing and how to use it.
But the other side of it is they are used daily. They are, the language arts people use them daily.
Have a kindergarten.
That's right, they can do it.
Yeah, we've had that conversation with John about the training. He's committed to me today that they would get that training.
Yeah, and you mentioned that.
He would make sure that that's provided for them.
Well, thank you, Principal Jones. We appreciate it. I think it sheds a good light on public schools when we're looking at needs and having our students excel, and appreciate that. That's helpful. Let's go to the business administrator's report. Jared, do you have anything?
Just a preliminary report on our budget for the upcoming year. I think the superintendent put on his report, the legislature appropriated a 4% increase in the WPU. I think we were all disappointed with that, thinking it could have been higher, but nevertheless, that's what it is. And there was also a tax increase generating $75 million, which is equivalent to a 3% WPU increase, but we will get nothing from that. Because all of the programs that money goes into, we don't qualify for, because we're a high tax valuation county. Anyway, so we are just getting our preliminary numbers from the state. Don't have enough information yet to really say where things will shake out, but I do think we'll be in a position where we will have some money to work with as we do our upcoming budget, so that'll be a good thing. It's just too early to say how much, but that's kind of where we're at.
Thank you. That's awesome. At least a little bit hopeful this year. Mm-hmm. Superintendent.
Just a couple of things. I have letters of retirement. Just for your information, June Sherman in the Child Nutrition Program has indicated she will be retiring at the end of this year. Lorraine Franson, resource teacher at Cottonwood Elementary, and also Carol Stiltson, secretary at Cottonwood Elementary. There's one other teacher, but at this point wants to still keep that confidential for a little while, so we'll honor that for till next month. Also, I sent you copies of letters of congratulations, which came from the Utah High School Activities Association to our swim coach, Coach Oliverson. There's a letter here congratulating her on both the boys and the girls winning the 2A state championship in swimming, two state championships. The letters are identical, so I won't just read them both to you, but a couple of comments here I think are important. This is from Robert Cuff, who is the director of the High School Athletic Association. He says in the third paragraph down, I'd like to congratulate also your assistant coaches and your student athletes for their hard work and dedication throughout the season. The next paragraph, thank you for, and I think this is really important, thank you for modeling sportsmanship and citizenship through positive learning laboratories where practical life lessons are taught. Thank you for creating education-based activities for your student athletes through promoting the development of character and ensuring the teaching of positive values, philosophies, and principles of educational value that will last a lifetime. And then congratulates everyone at Emory High for reaching the top of the classification in both the girls and the boys swimming, being state champions. I would just like to make this comment that I have attended swim meets that Emory High has hosted, and I have never seen a sport where everyone is accepted. It doesn't matter how great an athlete you are, if you're the slowest swimmer in Emory County, those kids are cheering for you from beginning to end. You might be three laps behind, and your teammates are cheering for you, and the other team is cheering for you. there's a camaraderie there in swimming that I haven't seen in many sports. Now, other sports are really good. Don't get me wrong; they're good sports, but the camaraderie and the team spirit that exists with swimming is just unexcelled anywhere else. And I just commend those who participate in that program and their coaches and Mr. Davis and all of those who are involved in the swimming program, and congratulate them for state championships this year, both boys and girls. All of you should have received this legislative update booklet. I sent it in a packet to two of you went up to the USBA regional meeting, got one. As you look through that, you will see the bills that were passed. First part is budget stuff, but you'll see the bills that were passed, and if you look at the section called LEA action, that tells you what the school districts are required to do with that law. It's just a brief description. The laws themselves, you have to get in and read them. Some of them are 100 pages long and some are one page. But wherever it says LEA action under those bills that were passed, that's what we're required to do. Or a general description of what we're required to do. It's more complicated than that, but it's a summary statement of what school districts are required to do. So I encourage you to read through that, understand those laws. We'll have other discussions about them, and we'll be discussing them with our administrators and getting geared up to implement those laws. Many of them become effective immediately, some of them in May, and some of them on July 1st. And it will tell you in there a little bit about, it'll tell you when they become effective and who the sponsors were. So this is kind of the Bible we go by for the next few months to get geared up for next year to implement this new legislation. So, and I think that's probably it. I don't know if I send out this supervisor. I probably didn't to all of you. I was going to, and it's on my list. Supervisor program responsibilities for next year. Did you get that in your packets? Probably not. I may not have sent it. So. I was going to revise it, and I probably didn't. So I'll get that to you. It's just a little bit of an update. Tells you our district office supervisors and what each of the programs that they supervise, and if you have questions, you'll know who to call to get the answers in those different areas. So I believe that's probably it.
Okay.
We do have need for a closed session for personnel issues.
Okay. Any public comments? Mr. Peacock.
Oh, no, that was my dad.
Oh.
I'm just Neil.
Neil. Okay, Mr. Neil.
I just had a few things. I wanted to add my voice and thank you for supporting girls' soccer. I strongly support girls' soccer also. And the issues that I may have had with it, I've discussed with Mr. Davis before coming here to this meeting. And I do support girls' soccer very much, and I think it's a great move, and I appreciate that. I also appreciate Mr. Black's efforts to try to tie coaches' salaries to wage increases that come. So I do appreciate that. Thank you very much. But still, as we're adding sports, we do need to review and update and look at where our coaches' salaries are. And that's something we need to address. And I just wanted to be on the record that I came here and said that. So that's something we need to talk about, our coaches' salaries. Especially when we know that we can get money just by asking Jared if that is important.
Well, that was an exaggeration, Mr. Neal.
The next thing I would say, I strongly support what Coach Jones said about a discussion about the ninth grade situation. We recently did a survey of our teachers, and the secondary teachers' number one concern, far ahead of any other concern they have, not concern about their own salaries, not their concern about anything that would give them money in their pocket, the number one concern of secondary teachers was this disconnect with ninth graders. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated what everybody here has said. I think teachers need to be part of that discussion too. That's just what I wanted to say, is that that is a huge concern for your teachers, and teachers need to be part of that discussion and solution. And I just like you've all said, there is a solution out there, and we'd like to be part of that. And then I want to let you know that our negotiation team is, we're put together, we have our negotiation team. We would like, as you're assembling that, we would like to have a preliminary meeting to work out some of our procedures, if we could, soon, if that would be okay with you. It might be that Kim and I could meet with a couple of you and work out how we want to do this, and we could get things going. We strongly suspect that money will be whatever money will be, but it's the other issues that we could spend time on, and we can get started on them before we get any final report from the state. And finally, I want to thank the superintendent for recognizing our swim team. Just to mention that almost half of the academic all-state kids from the state swim were from Emory High.
Wow.
So pretty amazing group of kids. So thank you. That's all I wanted.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Any other comments? Okay. Well, we appreciate you being here. We will have a motion then to go to closed meeting.
I move to go to closed meeting for personnel issues.
I'll second
all
that.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. Principal Davis, pick up for just a minute. I didn't mean to. I just have some very concerned. So I didn't mean to attack you. Let me give you the concerns they have. The concerns they have is they've had fundraisers for the swim team, and I think to get $3,000 to run it, and then you know, they need apparently some things for their team, some computer programs, some kind of practice benches and things. So in all of that, you know, I know that you're the one that approves it, and you can decide and
how
that handles. I just want you to know there's some parents out there that have contacted me
that
they're concerned about
the
use of that money.
Oh, well.
Over what used to be
in
the dark ages. I appreciate it.
Well,
and if we can help anything, let us know.
As long as you're willing to keep doing it.
Thanks for your support.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Lori.
I said, thanks for bringing the meetings to the schools.
Yeah, well, tried to do it.
Nice
kid.
Nice to
meet
you.
I have a cold.
Well, for kiddo, it's good to have you on the board.
Thank you.
You're a master.
You don't want
that one, too? I said, yes, I do.
You said that? You two, I just listened to you guys speak.
One of my old kids.
Yeah.
You have lots of kids, don't you? School kids and...
We're masters, we're manipulators, is that what you're saying?
I was one of his students.
Really?
Yeah. A long time ago.
Well, that's true.
I think Jim has some things in the home ec room,
okay.
if we want to slip over there and sit down for a minute.
Okay.
I was wondering about these administrative council minutes.
Yeah.
Is the top correct with Dennis Jones?
Oh, yeah.
No. Dennis Jones was on
no,
there.
No. I'll take care of that. That's
I was going
to
mention.